Live from Music Row in Nashville, this is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
All right, Roy Mathock here, and we are going to be talking this morning about the two things that always are important to every one of you, and that is to find a way to fix the problem of not making enough money, and then once you get hold of it, to make sure that you do the right things with it. That's what I do every Saturday, is help people with their money. And I want to give you some things. We got some upcoming events I think you'll be excited about. If you're wanting to really improve your education, I'm going to be doing a webinar next Saturday. That would be the 13th at 11 a.m. It's a two-hour How Money Works webinar. So you can sit home and log in, and you're going to get some of the greatest information from A to Z on how to get your money going in the right direction. And so I just want to put that down. You can go to roymatlockjr.com and you can register for that. We've also got a couple of new downloads that I think you'll be excited about. One is called How Money Works for Kids. So there's a lot of different things in here I'm adding to the show. Also, if you want to text your questions, you can do that as well. And all you have to do is put in the text 38470 and then text me a question and I'll answer it on the show. And so anyway, we're going to have a good day today. We're going to do some basics of getting ahead. I'm going to go through a little more like four segments that I think will really help you, from financial basics to investing basics. We're going to do some things if you're at or near retirement basics, and we're going to do things that if you're just getting started. So I thought I would begin the show today with the things that I see that most people, fail to do, and they make these mistakes early on. I read an article, CNBC just did an article this week, and it says 75% of all people right now do not have a financial advisor. And of the United States right now, about 50% of the population, if they have a $1,000 emergency, they don't have enough money in order to be able to do it. But the other side that I thought was interesting is the majority of people who are making $150,000 a year or more do have a financial advisor. They have a coach. They have somebody that helps them do things. And so as a result, what I would say is this. If you're out here right now, you're trying to get ahead, one of the first things you got to do is you got to get knowledge. And I want to compliment you for logging in and listening in to the show, because that's what my goal is to educate. And so the four basic financial mistakes that I see starting out with people, the first one is lack of planning. So if you want to go somewhere, I call it a GPS on, if we get our car and we want to go from point A to point B, what I generally do, if I don't know where I'm going, I just put in the GPS the destination I wanted to end up at. And it's the destination. It just takes me there. It says, okay, start here, turn here, do this, do that. And in the case with your finances, your destination is the same way. You want to get to a point where you have a financial independence number. That financial independence number is the amount of money that you would need in order to quit. And the idea is, how quickly can we get to a point that we could quit and know that we'll never run out of money for the rest of our lives? And so as a result of doing that, you have to put a plan together. And that planning is what we call a goal, a plan, a schedule. What's the goal? The GPS. How much money? What's the plan? How are we going to go about doing it? And then the schedule is, how are we going to schedule it in time-wise to be able to reach the destination that we want to go with. And so the first step that you need to make sure you have is a written plan to get to your financial independence number. Lack of planning, first mistake I see. Number two is lack of knowledge. So, if you have no knowledge whatsoever on how to do something, then you're automatically going to fail. It's just guaranteed, because most people don't have the staying power to make bad decisions over and over and over again. And so what do? You got to get knowledge. And so, my suggestion to you is to start reading and decide that finances are important. You have to spend time on your money, or your money will control you. You know, money is not everything. Being rich is not everything, but being poor is not that good either, and being broke is not that good. And so the lack of knowledge. So where do we go about doing that? Well, you've got podcasts. You know, I do a lot of things where I listen. I get up in the morning, I turn on podcasts when I'm driving down the road. I do things like that. There's a great download. You can go to roymatlockjr.com and download How Money Works. And I talked to you earlier. We have the How Money Works for Kids that's on the website as well. And so you want to start spending time reading and spending time listening to people that can help you with your money. So lack of knowledge is number two. Number three is dependence on others. You know, I hear this all the time. Broke people tend to ask questions of broke people because they tend to hang out with broke people. So one of the rules of thumb is never ask a question to anyone that is equal to or worse off than you when it comes to money. If you want to know how to accumulate money, the first thing you need to do is talk to people that have accumulated money. I remember coming up early in the business, in the financial business, and I was told by a guy that's a billionaire. He said, you know, if people don't call you cheap, if they don't call you a skinflint, you're probably never going to save any money. You're probably never going to have anything. You can never be too conservative if you want to get ahead. And so what happens is you depend on other people primarily because you don't have your knowledge. Now, if you are going to depend on some people, you need to make sure that the people that you depend on are people that actually have proven that they have been able to accumulate some money. I have people all the time, they ask me, they say, can you put some money into my business? And I sit there and I think, well, wait a minute. I don't want to put money into somebody's business that doesn't have any money. I would want to put money into somebody's business that has money, because those people want me in that business, maybe because I can add to it. But I don't want to put money into things like, you know, with people that don't have anything. And the reason is they haven't been able to figure it out. And then the last one is getting started, procrastination. And so those are the four basic financial mistakes. And now what we're going to do is go next into seven ways to free up money to save.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money this morning, and we're going to continue down the path of some of the basics that have to do with saving money. And if you want to text questions to me, we can do that, and we'll answer some questions a little bit later in the show. Text 38470, and we will get those questions answered. And you can also go to roymatlockjr.com and download some really good information called How Money Works, and a new one that I put on there called How Money Works for Kids. And so, but shoot those texts over here, and we'll answer your questions. We started out with the four mistakes that I see people make. And so now we're going to talk about the seven areas that you can, things that you can do in order to free up some money to save, which will allow you to start moving in a good direction. And so what's the first one? The first one is pay yourself first. Pay yourself first is an old adage that has been gone by. It's gone back for years and years and years and years, but it works. And what that says is that in your business, your family business, you have to make a profit. And what I mean by your family business, you know, if you ran a small business and you had more going out than you had coming in, then what would end up happening is you would go out of business. And if you are a family and you're both working and you're bringing in income, you have to run a profit and loss. And that profit and loss is how much did you bring in less how much did you spend. And then the profit is what's left over. And so what you want to do is be profitable. And that way you know if you're profitable is you check out your net worth. And so what's the first step to becoming profitable? You got to pay yourself first. And what that means is that when you, every single paycheck, there should be money going in each month into several different types of savings plans. The first one is the short-term emergency fund, you know, 3 to 6 months of expenses that would allow you to protect yourself against if something, you were at a job loss or anything like that, or a medical emergency. So about 3 months of income minimum should be set aside for emergencies. There's another place you save, and that is for future purchases. Future purchases are for things that you're going to have happen. You're going to have maintenance. You're going to have a new car you got to buy one day. You're going to have, you know, trips and vacations and Christmas and birthdays and all that. So you just set aside what I call a put and take account. You put that money in, you have it drafted every month or right into a regular savings account. It's designed for you to build it up and take it out and build it up and take it out. But the idea is that you're making sure you're preparing, okay, for things that are going to happen. And then the third area is your long-term savings, and that's going to be broken down into retirement planning. And then after that, maybe if you have children, it would be college planning. But the long and short of it is there's a system. You have three basic areas that you save money. You have an emergency fund, you have a future purchase account, and then the last one is and the most important one, is your long-term savings, which would be your retirement plan, college plans. How do you do that? You pay yourself first. How do you pay yourself first? What I tell people is this: automate everything. And, you know, when I first got started, my very first time I got introduced to this kind of stuff was in 1985. And in 1985, I was fortunate enough to get in a business that was teaching people about money. And so as a result, I learned about money and I opened up my very first mutual fund. And back then in 1985, I put $50 a month into a mutual fund. I put $100 a month into a money market account. That money market account, both of them got drafted. $150 a month got drafted out of my account. And the $100 was for the emergency fund, so I could build that up. And then once you build your emergency fund, then that same money that was going to the emergency fund, you can make it go into other areas. And so I had my long-term money, $50 a month, and I had my $100 a month. It was my emergency fund and also my future purchase account. And as a result of that, I was able to, you know, get rid of car payments and things of that nature. So that would allowed me to be able to do things. And so I paid myself first. So what would I do? I would have 401ks automatically drafted out of your paycheck. If you don't have 401k, I would have retirement plans, college plans, stuff like that, automatically deducted out of your checking account. You know, I've always been self-employed, and so I've always had it set up that way where it automatically just comes out of my account. You know, I started doing automatic drafts out of my account in 1985, and now here we are, you know, 30 years later, I'm doing automatic drafts. And so that's how you do things. The second area is adjust your lifestyle. You know, the bottom line is that I always tell people that just go about raising your income and not raising your expenses. That's one way. But the other thing you have to do is you just may have to initially adjust your lifestyle. You adjust it for a number of reasons. One is you adjust your lifestyle to be able to free up a lot of money to save. So if you've got two incomes, maybe you just live like nothing for a period of time and save one income for a period of years. Next thing you know, you got $100,000 saved. So that's the way you go about doing things. When I went about doing things, I cut my lifestyle back. When I wanted to save money, I got rid of expensive cars, got cheaper cars, stuff like that. Number three is you adjust your priorities. Ask yourself what's important to you. You know, if you have children, one of the things that a lot of people do, they say, well, what if I could have my spouse stay home, you know, and raise the kids? Well, to do that, you're probably going to have to give up something in order to make that happen. You can't have two incomes and go to one income and not end up having that. Or you may end up having a second job. You know, the primary breadwinner might go out and do that. But the bottom line is you have a written plan and you adjust your priorities. The fourth area that I tell people is this: work six, rest one. Work hard. Go to work. Most people think that they can make it working 40 hours a week. And, you know, you think about this. We live 168 hours. My dad always said this. He said, you know, you got to make money while you sleep, because if you don't make money while you sleep, you can't pay the bills that are going on while you're sleeping. In other words, our expenses run 24/7. They always run. You know, our house, we pay not just for the days that we're in it, we're paying for it no matter what. And so what we have to do is come to the realization it may be very difficult to work 40 but live and pay for 168. And that's what a lot of people do. Average people work average hours. People, if they want to get ahead, they put more into it. And so I would recommend to you this. Have a sideline business. Do something to make extra money. Save 100% of the extra money. If you work overtime, go about doing that and save all that money. The fifth area, the free up money to save, is don't buy retail. Just start buying everything used. I remember when I was doing seminars when we had the radio show, The Money Game. We would do the Money Game seminars, and I would go into the seminars, and I would stand up there, and I would have a nice suit, and I would open up the label, and it had, had the name of a doctor here in town in it, and it's especially tailored for that doctor. And that doctor I had bought at the Ladies of Charity, like five or six really nice suits, used for like $50. They were $500-$600 suits back then. And what I did was I made a decision. I just wasn't going to buy retail. I went to Goodwill and I bought, shirts and things like that. And what I did when I was making a lot of money, I was not spending it. What I did, my next door neighbor back then, we had VCRs, and he had a used VCR shop. And I said, "Hey, Dale, get me one of your used VCRs. Bring it home to me." And I gave him like $50 for it when they're $300 or $400 in the store. And so I made a decision. I wasn't going to buy retail. I bought used cars. I bought used everything. That's what I did. And I started working on making sure that I was getting the best value for my money. That's what I wanted to do. And that freed me up money to save. Number six, eliminate low interest savings. Don't let your money sit there doing nothing. You got to get your money working hard for you. Right now, the banks pay you 10 cents on $100 if you leave it there for a year. It's insane. And number seven, what you're going to do is avoid the credit trap. Anything that has to do with appreciating assets, you should always pay cash, cars, credit cards, things like that. And so anyway, hey, I hope this is helping. What we're going to do, you can text your questions, and we will be sure and get those texted 38470. This is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be right back.
Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here and talking money on a Saturday morning that we do every Saturday. And you can listen online. If you happen to be out of town, you can go to roymatlockjr.com. I do want to encourage you, next Saturday the 13th, we will be doing the first How Money Works webinar. It's 2 hours, and I'm going to get into everything you can imagine on how to help you get your finances straight. I'm going to give you stuff that goes back in time, all the way back to the Money Game seminars that we did years and years and years ago, and we're going to give you free information. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is register at roymatlockjr.com, and we'll be sending you information on downloads and all kinds of good stuff in order to help you get your finances straight. And so if you want to learn how to set your budget up and pick your 401k options and, buy the right life insurance and get out of debt, whatever it is, you can go absolutely free to our How Money Works webinar, and that will be next Saturday, 11 a.m., and that will be online, so you can sit at home and you get it all there. Register at roymatlockjr.com. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to take some of these text in questions. And if you didn't know this, you can text us 38470, and we'll try to get to them. If we don't get to them this week, we'll get to them next week, because, you know, we have a lot of different people out there that like, Texting is the way now. So text 38470, send me a message, and we'll do that. And so I have a question here. It says, should I do a Roth or a regular IRA? And this is coming from someone young, getting started. What is the difference? Why should I do it? Well, there's a lot of different things that you need to concern yourself with when it comes to your Roth IRAs and your regular IRAs. So let's first off explain the difference. So a regular IRA is an IRA that you take it off your income taxes. And so what that means is that you can take and put money in 100% of your earned income and put it into a Roth or a regular IRA. And so what happens is you can put $6,000 in, and if you're over 50, you can put $7,000 in. So what happens is these accounts grow either tax-deferred or tax-free. A Roth IRA is an after-tax investment, and it grows tax-free. So if you put it in there, it'll grow forever. There's some benefits to the Roth, and the Roth is it's tax-free income, and you never have to take what's called an RMD, which is a required minimum distribution. A regular IRA gives you tax deductibility today, but at age 70 and a half, you will have to start pulling that money out and paying taxes on it. So the question is, which one should you do? Well, generally speaking, I tell people if you're young and getting started young, do the Roth IRA, because you've got an IRA that's going to have the ability to have a lot of money in it. You know, back in the days when IRAs first got started, you can only put $2,000 a year in. And so a lot of people that when they started, they just didn't have that much money in their regular IRA. And so today you can put more in. Now, what are some other reasons that we do a Roth? Well, you know, do we think that we're going to have a higher tax bracket when we retire? And it's very possible that'll happen if you start out young enough. Now, when would you do a regular IRA? Regular IRA would be let's say that you are a little bit behind and maybe you're in your 40s or 50s and you don't really have as much money set aside, but you got a pretty good income and you're really socking it away. So you get a bigger tax deduction maybe today than you will when you retire, because your tax rate may go down. And so there's a couple things. There's also some rules that you need to look at, because if you're covered by a pension plan, that affects your ability to have a regular or a Roth IRA. And that's even if you're not actually participating, it still has an impact on that. And so you just need to go through. There's a lot of different options. So you got Roth, you got regular, and that kind of thing. I have another question here. When should I take Social Security? Should I take it, you know, at 62, 66, 60, whatever the number is? And keep in mind, there's different rules for different ages. But for the most part, your full Social Security age is going to be 66 or 67. And you can wait. And when you wait, you get about 32% more if you wait to age 70. So the question is, should I take it when? Okay, well, to begin with, if you're retired and you don't have any money, the first thing you are going to do is probably take it as soon as you can. All right. But my recommendation, generally speaking, is to take full Social Security age, which is going to be 66 or 67. And the reason I tell you that, even if you don't need the money, here's what I would do. I would take it. I would then take that money if I don't need it, and I would invest that money. And then what I'll have is a lifetime income of Social Security. Plus, you know, that four-year period, if you're getting $2,500 a month or $2,000 a month, you've been able to accumulate over that 4 years $100,000. And that's going to be money that is not like Social Security. That's your money. So Social Security is an income. That 100 grand that you're able to save is your money that you can do whatever you want with, pass it on, and stuff like that. Another thing you want to consider in taking Social Security is your health. If you're in poor health, you should take it sooner. If you're in great health, you might wait. I really don't see any reason to wait till 70 to do it, but I know some people do. I just don't recommend it. I'd rather get it, and even if I don't need it, I want to go ahead and make sure and invest it. And it's even possible, if you're still working, You could take that money and invest it into a Roth IRA. And then that money that you were saving out of Social Security can be put into a Roth IRA, which would give you tax-free income, that kind of thing. And so while we're going down the path of retirement and Social Security and things like that, what about a reverse mortgage? You know, people, I get questions all the time. Do I lose my house if I have a reverse mortgage? How does a reverse mortgage work? And one of the best things I can tell you on a reverse mortgage is it's called a flexible payment mortgage. It's really not anything different than a mortgage. You just don't have to pay the payment. And if you don't pay the payment, here's what's going to happen. Interest is going to accumulate. And you say, oh, man, am I going to lose my house? No, you're not going to lose your house. What's going to happen is as your house appreciates, what you owe also goes up. But here's the key element to it. Let's say that you were sitting there and you had a $300,000 house and it was paid for, and you're at least 63, and you decided that, the best thing I need to do is make some decisions on my house. You know, most people when they retire, downsize into something on one downstairs where you don't have steps and stuff like that. Your last house, you might do something like that. If you have an older house, I recommend people, maybe go buy a condo or do something like that and reduce, maintenance cost. And then let's take an example of what I've seen. You got a $300,000 house, it's paid for, and you decide, hey, I'm going to downsize it to a $200,000 condo, something new. And so now that frees me up $100,000 I can invest. So now I've got less outlay, and then I've got $100,000. Now, if I did a reverse mortgage, I could go and put $100,000 down on the $200,000, and now I've got $200,000 that I can invest, and then I don't have a payment, and I've downsized, cut my expenses. So get this, I've cut my overhead on my house, less maintenance, less costs, less taxes, that kind of thing. I've taken $200,000 of the $300,000, put it aside to where I can take that money and draw an income off of it, and I'm still living in a house and I don't have a payment. I think it's a great idea. So do I believe that a reverse mortgage has its place? Absolutely. And so there's all these different things that we have going on. So if you have a question, text it at 38470 and we'll keep answering some of these questions and we'll be right back.
This is Roy Mathlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
All right, we're back. Roy Mathlock Jr. here, and we're talking money on our Money and Business Hour. It comes in every Saturday morning. Tell your friends about it. We are seeing all kinds of fun things come up in the fact that we're just seeing a lot of people everywhere I go. They're telling me that they like the show, and I'm gonna do my very best to try to educate you on money, help you get ahead, help you learn how to start a business and be successful in doing that kind of thing. And you can text your questions at 38470. You can also email to Roy at Roy Mathlock Jr. and I'll be doing my best to answer the questions on the show as we are out there. And I do want to remind you, you can get all the replays at roymatlockjr.com and subscribe to the podcast, and it'll get sent to you. And then lastly, next Saturday the 13th, we will be doing the very first How Money Works webinar at 11 a.m. You can register online at roymatlockjr.com, and it's 2 hours of everything you can think of, absolutely free, pure financial education to teach you about money and finance and how to win the money game. And so with that being said, what we're going to do, we're going to take this last segment, and I'm going to just go down the path a little bit of educating. We talked about the areas you free your money up to save and get out of debt and stuff like that. We talked about paying yourself first. It's not what you earn, it's what you keep that counts. And so the first thing you do is you do an accounting. You say, well, how much money have I made on average per year? How many years have I worked? That's my total earnings. And then you look at your personal savings, and that'll give you some idea how well you're doing. And then once you get that in mind, you say, well, you know, I have this much money, I've made this much money, I can get a percentage of what I've actually been able to accumulate. Then we go in, we open up our three accounts, we have an emergency fund, we have our short-term savings, which is a future purchase account, and then we go toward long-term savings, which would be investments like retirement planning, college planning for the kids. You might buy, you know, some of you buy rental properties, and we're going to have a segment on that on one of the shows strictly about real estate, on what you ought to do on that. But, you know, real estate is one of those things that owning a rental property, you know, it's for some people. My father bought and sold real estate. They bought their first one at age 19, and when he passed away at age 89, they had still tons of those things. They had real estate rental properties for, what is that, 19 to 89, okay? Think about that, from age 19 to 89, and made a lot of money on it. But there's issues with it. You know, I'm one of those guys that I like to put my money in passive stuff like mutual funds. But the bottom line is we're going to have a segment on real estate, because I grew up learning a lot about rental properties and leasing and things like that. So what do you have? You have an emergency fund, you have short-term savings, long-term savings, all right? Then we use time and consistency. And what we do is we get the money going in on a regular basis, and you need to learn something called the Rule of 72. The Rule of 72 is a fundamental to saving money. And let me give you an example of how this works out. The Rule of 72, you can look it up, Google it. It's a mathematical formula that will teach you how long a lump sum will take to double if, in fact, you know the interest rate. So let's say that you had $10,000 and you found out you could get 3% on your money, which, by the way, that's the high CD rates right now, pretty much is 3%. So that $10,000, if you take 3% divided into the number 72, that's 24 years. So if you took 3 into 72, that's 24 years, your money doubles about every 24 years. So you could put in $10,000, and in 24 years you have $20,000, and in 48 years you'd have $40,000. So it would go from 10 to 20 and 20 to 40. Now, what if you could turn around and double your interest rate? Rather than getting 3%, you got 6%. So let's think about that. When I first heard this, the guy says, what do you think would happen? I said, well, you double your money. And he said, no, it doesn't work that way. He said, what's going to happen is your money's going to double in half the time. So what's going to happen is rather than double in 24 years, it's going to double in 12 years, 6 into 72. So now your $10,000 doubles every 12 years. So in 12 years, it'll double. In 24 years, it'll double again. It'll double in 36 years again. And in 48 years, it'll double again. And so what's the difference in 3% and 6% over 48 years? It's the difference in $40,000 and $160,000, or a difference of four times. You double the rate, you got four times as much money. He said, now what if I could get 12%? People say, 12% is impossible. No, it's actually not impossible. Matter of fact, I know things that have, you know, have averaged that kind of return for, you know, better than 50 years. But you have to realize they don't pay 12%. What they do is they average that over a period of time. But, you know, if you get 10%, it's going to double in 7.2 years. But just for example, at 12%, your money would double every 6 years. So now, how much would it be? Well, at 3%, it's $40,000. At 6%, it's $160,000. But at 12%, it's $2,560,000. Three people start the same. The only difference is one of them had real lazy money and the other one had hardworking money. And you know, the thing about money is you can make it work hard or be lazy, and it doesn't affect you at all. All you have to do is put it to work at the places that it'll work hard for, and then you get the return on it. So next thing is, how do we free money up? We pay off debt. So let's talk about debt as it relates to things that are bad debt. Bad debt is anything that depreciates. If the underlying product that you own is depreciating, then you don't want to be financing it. So let's take and think through this. Well, what if you finance Christmas? Most of the things we buy at Christmas, we don't You know, they generally don't appreciate. If we buy cars, they don't appreciate. If we, you know, have a credit card balance and we don't pay it off at the end of the month, we have a balance, and then we go and have lunch and we put it on our credit card, we're getting charged interest from the moment the charge went through. And so that's definitely depreciating your food. And so what do you do? First thing you do is you say, well, I'm going to get out of debt. How am I going to get out of debt? I'm going to raise money. I'm going to sell things. I'm going to work extra jobs. I'm going to get rid of expensive things that have debt tied to it. I'm going to buy a piece of junk, okay, when it comes to cars to drive. I'm going to do whatever, and I'm going to get completely done. You know, one of my guys that has been with me for years, he first got started, and he and his wife, they decided they wanted to get it together, and they wanted to go into my business full time. And I said, dude, you're broke. You can't do that. And he's like, I had two car payments, was putting like $50 a month aside, you know, and had credit card debt and all that kind of stuff. I said, here's what you need to do. If you want to get involved in this business, you can't be a disaster and try to teach somebody how to get their finances straight. I said, here's what you do. Get rid of those expensive cars, sell your house, pay off all your debt, move in an apartment, and completely get yourself debt free. He's like, walks out of there, and he said, we're going to do it. So they sold their house, took the equity, paid the credit card off, got rid of the cars, bought a $700 car. And next thing you know, he was in the parking lot at the mall, and somebody backed into the side of his car and left a note on there saying, hey, I'm sorry, I ran in the back of your car. And he took it, and he got an estimate, and he got $1,200 for the car. Okay, he only paid $700. He got $1,200 to get it fixed. And so he took that. Bottom line is, here's what ended up happening. A little over 2 years later, he had accumulated, went from having nothing at all to $100,000 in cash saved. And the way he did that was he decided he was going to cut cost and get it to where he had a positive cash flow. So now, how do you go about getting out of debt? Well, the first thing you do is you line up all your debts and you take a look at them. You say, now, what can I do to get rid of this little small balance here, this little annoyance that's got $500 owed on it? I'm going to get it paid off. I'm going to pay the minimum payments on the rest of them. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to levelize my payments. I'm not going to end up leaving my payments, you know, up and down and stuff like that, because what revolving debt does is every time you pay it, the payment goes down. You'll never get out of debt. I'll give you an example. If you owe $17,000 at 18% and you pay the minimum payment, the first month minimum payment is $595, and you will take 17 years and pay $12,500 in interest to pay it off. Now, if you just take $595 and levelize that and just start applying it, you will get out of debt in 3 years and 2 months, and you'll pay $5,370 in interest, or you'll save $7,000 in interest, and you'll save, what, 14 years just by levelizing the payment. So if you want to get out of debt, the first thing you got to do is you got to set up a plan to get out of debt. And so, guys, what we're going to do, we've got just a little bit of time left, and I'm going to go in here and let's see if I got another quick question I can do. And then what do we got here? Something quick. All right. Well, let's go with, should I flip by rental properties and flip houses? How about that? So one of the ways that I will give you an answer on that. Nashville's, you know, rocking around here fast like that. So one of the best ways to get rich quick, okay, is to not get rich quick. All right. And if you want to get broke quick, try to get rich quick. How about that? So that's it. You want to get broke quick, I'm gonna give you the last answer. If you want to get broke quick, try to get rich quick. And if you want to be successful, it's 10 years, all right, to 20 years of doing get rich slow. And then what ends up happening, you have your business at your personal family business doing it the right way. Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next weekend. And go to roymatlockjr.com and sign up for the How Money Works seminar, webinar coming up next weekend. I'll talk to you later.